I'm required to tell you this is KCSN and KCSN HD1 Northridge KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo.
That's our legal name.
But this is the SoCal Sound, member-supported public radio for music lovers. Join us on the SoCal Sound app
and the SoCalSound.org.
A very happy Wednesday evening to you all, and welcome to The Soundtrack. I'm your occasionally genial host, Lev L. Spiro, and tonight we have a very special guest, singer, songwriter, guitarist, all-around awesome person, Paul Freeman.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And tonight, Paul is here with his band, Welsh Wolf, to play some songs live in person for us. Paul, welcome to The Soundtrack.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's nice a pleasure. To be here. Well, I can't wait to hear you guys. Tell us what you're going to play first.
I think we're going to do Antisocial Butterfly, which is a song off the forthcoming EP.
Well, let's dive right into it. So this is the band Welsh Wolf, singer-songwriter Paul Freeman, and Antisocial Butterfly. I love that song. And this is one of the Welsh Wolf songs coming out on the new EP.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Let me introduce you a little bit to our audience before we play more music. We have this amazing band in here. You are a well-known singer-songwriter. You've opened for and toured with acts including Joe Cocker, Todd Rundgren, Chris Cornell, Chris Isaacs, Roger Daltrey, and The Who, to name a few. That's a pretty impressive list. I mean, why didn't you tour with the Rolling Stones? Were you going through a lazy period or something?
Yeah, I took a week off that.
Wow.
Thank you for that. That's so nice. When you said all like back to back like that, it sounds like, oh, I haven't been wasting my time after all.
Yeah, no, not so much. Some of these bands you were touring with as a guitarist, vocalist, others you were the warm-up act for.
Yeah.
I know that when I met you, which is a few years ago, you had just come off a long tour with The Who. And as their warm-up act, it was just you and then an acoustic guitar, right?
Yes.
Warming up stadium-sized crowds.
Like arenas and stuff like that. It started as doing a tour of the UK with Roger Daltrey, and then he was like, oh, we like what you're doing. Do you want to come on the road with us? So I was like, yeah, sure.
Us The Who, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, cool, that sounds fun. Let's go and play some arenas.
you're going out on stage in front of literally tens of thousands of people as a solo act. Isn't that kind of, what's the word, terrifying?
You can only really see the first three rows anyway. So after that, you kind of you forget who else is out there. And so you just hope that, you know, there are people after that. But I've never really suffered from nerves in that sense. I think maybe when I was like 11 years old, I did my first ever performance at a school talent competition, and it went so badly that I think I just kind of threw all of my nerves away and went, well, I was pointless being nervous for that rubbish. So,
well, tell us a little bit about how you first got into music. Okay, wait a second, let me back up. Did you actually grow up in Wales, or is this like an accent you put on to impress American women?
No, it was just how I got my wife. Yeah,
with the accent.
So you're, I'm from Baltimore,
so it's okay. All right. Paul, as you guys probably can hear already, Paul is a very low-key guy. You don't know that he's played in front of tens of thousands of people. He's just like a normal person. Quasi-normal. How old were you? You grew up in Wales.
Yeah.
And how old were you when you moved to London?
I was 16, nearly 17. I left home. I finished my GCSEs and did so poorly in them that there were no higher education options for me. So the only option left was to leave home.
You have a flat to stay in London?
So I moved kind of just outside London first and worked part-time in a recording studio. So I learned how to like splice tape and do that. And I would travel into London for band rehearsals and stuff like that. And then I did that for about 6 months and then finally got a one room in a shared house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like £45 a week.
And
to have this room, a tiny room in a house. And I found a job as a carpet fitter.
A carpet fitter?
Yeah. Okay. So I was doing that part-time and then in the band in the evenings.
Well, listen, we're going to get back to more annoying questions in a moment. But we have this very talented band in the studio, so I would love to hear another track, please. Tell us about the song you're playing next, The Ever Hours.
Oh, The Ever Hours. That is, I wrote it about my childhood in Wales with this idea that I have no contact with anyone that I grew up with, age 10 to 12, because we moved around a lot. But I love this idea that the friendships that I formed in those early formative years, they live in this place in my mind. The sun's always setting and we're always on our bikes riding around the neighborhood. So it's kind of a nostalgic feeling to the song.
Well, let's take a listen to this. This is The Ever Hours from Paul Freeman and Welsh Wolf, live here in the 885 SoCal Sound Studios.
Streetlights all came on, nothing was ever over till they called us home. We had the same houses but different lives. I don't remember if we ever said goodbye. Afternoons, they were gold and they were green. The ever hours hold the pieces of a dream that got away. In the ever hours, we threw our open arms around the days. The memories might change, but to me you're still the same.
You just heard The Ever Hours from Paul Freeman and Welsh Wolf, recorded live here in the 885 SoCal Sound Studio. Paul, can you introduce us to these fabulous musicians, please?
It would be my pleasure.
Thank you.
On guitar, we have Ross Grant. On keyboards, we have the fabulous Nero Russell. And on bass, we have John Spiker.
And filling in on drums already. Today, you had...
We had Nick Adams.
Yeah. Amazing.
Because Kyle had something better to do.
I doubt that. Ross... Here's my question for you. I understand that when you're not playing lead guitar for Welsh Wolf, you are a doctor at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. Is that true?
Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly. So here's my question, man. If you're on stage at a gig and, like, your pager goes off for a medical emergency, do you drop your guitar or does, like, the patient just have to damn well wait until you finish your solo?
Fortunately, in 2025, there aren't pagers anymore. So.
Oh. I may have just revealed my age, yeah. So the patient just is in cardiac arrest and you're on stage.
I have other people there that are doing my job when I'm not there, so I don't have to be there. But, I mean, if somebody collapsed in the audience, I would probably go try to help them, yeah.
Really? In the middle of a song?
Well, okay. Depends on how sick they looked.
Okay. Thank you for that honest answer. Nira, Paul, you were telling me before... that Nira is our fabulous keyboardist and does backing vocals. And you mentioned to me that this is one of the few musical groups that you've both recorded with and played live with. So how does that affect the collaboration? Is that better for you?
Oh, that's right. I mean, I love it. I get to play and try and remember the parts that I actually recorded in the studio, which usually when I'm a touring musician, I'm learning other fabulous musicians and the parts that they played. But I actually got to be part of the creative process, which was a real treat for me.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And John, question for you, sir. Step up to the microphone. John's playing bass, and they didn't give him a vocal mic. Hey, John. In addition to playing bass, Paul tells me you've also mixed and co-produced the upcoming EP. Were you going for any particular style or soundscape on this one?
You know, Paul, without going too deep into it here, how much time do we have? Paul did the cool thing that I always love, which is that he made incredible demos. So we were kind of chasing the sound of Paul on this thing.
Uh-huh.
And we were able to kind of create this thing in a vacuum of sorts of, like, just going with what felt right and what seemed to suit the song, as opposed to chasing, you know, some band or some genre or something. We were
very
kind of free to just do our thing.
Also, Chasing the Sound of Paul could be the name of the next EP.
Is it not the name of this record?
No, I think it's called The Voyeur's Dream. Is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you guys again. And also thanks, Nick Adams, for filling in today on drums.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He was amazing. Well, we're going to hear the band play one more song tonight. But let's take a listen to one of the new tracks from Welsh Wolf from your new EP coming out June 3rd. Is in five days from now.
Yes, very soon.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to this song. This is called Wreck. I'm Lev L. Spiro. You're listening to The Soundtrack right here on the SoCal Sound. We are visiting tonight with L.A. and Nashville-based artist Paul Freeman and the band Welsh Wolf. Paul, the EP drops next week, Tuesday, June 3rd, right?
Yeah.
And there's a release party Tuesday night?
Tuesday night at three clubs in Hollywood. Be there or be somewhere else, probably,
okay.
I think.
Well, listen, I'm going to go back a little ways in your catalog right now to talk about some of the work you've done for film and television.
Yes.
First, there was a song that was used for the 2006 romantic comedy feature The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn, I think it was.
Yes.
The song was called Well Well, but I want to talk about a song that you wrote and performed in the series Marvel's Jessica Jones. Can you tell us about that one?
That was a really fun experience because I was asked to try and write something for it, and I was stumped a little bit. But one of the things that I like to do when my wife is getting ready is I'll go into the bathroom with her while she's doing her makeup, and I'll sit on the edge of the bath and just kind of serenade her a little bit while she's doing her makeup.
Oh, that's lovely.
And this was one of those moments where the song came to me while I was watching her put on her makeup. And I did like a 10-second little voice note. So when the request for the song came in, I had this song that was just sitting on my iPhone. And I sent that over. I was like, is this kind of in the ballpark? And they were like, yes, that's perfect. Go finish that. And that's actually what ended up being used in the show, was just the acoustic vocal that I did that afternoon.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah, it's just one live take. I did it in my living room with two microphones.
Wow. You know, I have tried serenading my wife while she's putting on her makeup. She asked me to stop immediately.
That's because you kept putting on her makeup.
Well, there was that too. Let's take a listen. It's a beautiful song. Your voice is beautiful on it. Closer Still by Paul Freeman.
There's no going back from here. Tonight the city disappears. I'll keep you safe, I'll keep your heart. Like secrets kept between the stars. Come here, come closer still. Hey, love, so I don't have to scream and shout it, and you don't ever need to doubt it. If everything looks black and white, oh, I'll be the color. Hey, love, if you want a song to say it, well, I'll be the one to play. A single line from bended knee. Share a life with me. My hopeful heart is beating loud, like a firework not coming down, down. If the echo of the darkness grows, but I'll be the light to bring you home. Come here, come closer still. Hey, love, so I don't have to scream and shout it, and you don't ever need to doubt it. If everything looks black and white, then I'll be the color. Hey, love, if you want a song to say, then I'll be the one to play in the space before we speak. Share a life with me. Breath that we breathe.
That is just one of my favorite tunes that you've ever written, I have to say. Your voice is beautiful. The melodies are beautiful. And that song, I think you told me once it went on, kind of hit the charts in Europe.
It did pretty well, yeah. It was on, because I guess in like that singer-songwriter world, like the it was number one in about 5 different countries on different charts.
Wow.
And stuff. Yeah, I was super surprised by it. It was lovely.
Was that driven by the television show?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The power of television still works.
Interesting. So television can very much drive music sales, or at least listener attention.
Very much
in
so.
Your experience. Okay, well, let's go back to, let's get back in our time capsule. Go back to London for a moment. You get there and you're 16 years old. You're fitting carpet.
Uh-huh.
You're a fit carpet fitter.
Back then I was, yeah.
And how do you get from being an unknown Welsh guitarist to touring with people like Joe Cocker and Roger Daltrey?
That was a slow and steady period. The band that I was in at the time was called Bodeca, mm-hmm. and we got a very small deal with Boy George's label. And through that, I had access to people within the music business. And Boy George would invite various people down to the show. And one of the people he invited to one of the shows was a guy called Mark Owen.
Are we in the early 90s here?
No, we're in 2000s at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mark was about to do a solo record, and he and I hit it off. And he was like, oh, you should come and try and write some songs with me. And I was like, okay, sure. So we did that, and the first song that we wrote ended up being the first single, and it went into the top 5 in the UK. So that was kind of my, I really owe a lot to Mark Owen.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was really lucky.
I mentioned that in addition to Cocker and Daltrey, you toured with Chris Isaacs, Chris Cornell, Todd Rundgren. Was there a time that you burned out on touring, or did you just want to focus more on your own songwriting?
No, touring's my favorite part of doing this, yeah. To see the instant reaction of something you've created is like, that's my favorite part of it. Because, you know, we go into the studio and you can make it sound shiny and new and great, but there's no feedback. You know, we play it to your friends and you hope they like it, but when you have it in front of a live audience that doesn't know who you are, then I feel like that's the tell. And I enjoy the challenge of that. I love that.
So cool. Well, I want to play one of my long-standing favorites of yours. This is from your last album, Shotgun Skyline, and it's the song Even Our Heroes Fade. I think you told me once this was a tribute to your grandfather.
Yes, yeah, it was written about my grandfather who had just passed when I wrote it.
Oh, amazing. Okay, well, here it is from the album Shotgun Skyline by Paul Freeman. This is Even Our Heroes Fade.
We're the survivors of a golden age, chasing forever as it slips away. Sooner or later, we'll face the past, but who'll be standing in the broken glass? Just keep on, 'cause I know. Let's start. Come on, let's lose our minds.
Even Our Heroes Fade by Paul Freeman from the album Shotgun Skyline. Speaking of heroes, do I remember correctly that your dad named you after Paul McCartney?
He did, yeah. My dad is the biggest Paul McCartney geek in the world. He could probably tell you how many hairs Paul McCartney still has left on his head.
That's gating to stalker territory. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm guessing that the music of the Fab Four was something you heard a lot of in your youth.
It was, actually, but he played me Wings first. So when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and he was constantly playing Venus and Mars. It wasn't until I was about 11 years old or something like that. Yeah, I was definitely older that he was like, oh, Paul McCartney was in a band before that called the Beatles. I was like, oh, can I hear those?
But that's very funny. He's like, yeah, Paul McCartney was in this other band before Wings.
Before, yeah. So, but he's such a massive Paul McCartney fan. That's why I'm called Paul James.
I know you're also a big fan of American blues rock. People
yes.
like Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen. Were they big influences on your songwriter? And what was it about their music that appealed to you?
Probably my dad's influence growing up was always, he would always point out what a great song was. But it was always coming from a songwriter's perspective as opposed to a production standpoint. Or he would never really point out, listen to how good the drums sound on this song or whatever. It was always like, listen to that lyric. He was always pointing lyrics out. And then I would say the Springsteen influence probably came in when I was in Bodeca. We had a manager for a short while called Philip Tennant. And he pulled me aside one day, and I think he maybe saw something in me as a songwriter just separate from the band.
Mm-hmm.
And pulled me aside one day and invited me over to his house, played me all these amazing early Bruce Springsteen records that my dad hadn't introduced me to, and basically told me that all the songs I had at that point were all rubbish and that I should go away and come back next week with at least one good song.
Wow.
Because at that point I was writing 5 songs a week and I was just like, I'm writing so many songs and they're all great. And turns out they were all crap. So he sent me away with just the job of come back next week with one good song. And he sent me away with Bruce Springsteen's second album to listen to from top to bottom.
Well, here's one that you might recognize. Take a listen to this.
Sprung from cages on Highway 9, chrome wheel, human chains.
We'll be right back with our musical guest, Paul Freeman, and more.
Hey, we're Chaim, and we're this month's Artist in Residence on the SoCal Sound. We're going to be guest DJs this week, playing songs that we love, and we're going to share some stories, some laughs. So join us this Saturday night at 6 p.m. only on 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
Artist in Residence, Saturday nights at 6, 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
Support comes from Beto Hale, performing live at Hotel Ziggy in West Hollywood on May 29th, with special guests Nancy Sanchez and Julie Newmark. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tickets and more information are available at betohale.com/pages/tickets.
Stand Up to Cancer has been a critical partner in advancing research for cancer.
It's just so inspiring to do research that impacts human lives.
So please help us fight in this battle against cancer.
Be a part of the team that ends cancer at standuptocancer.org.
Hey, this is Jet from the SoCal Sound Morning Show with some record releases coming out this week. Garbage will release Let All That We Imagine Be the Light. Possession from Ty Siegel will come out. Matt Berninger will release Get Sunk. Mount Joy will drop Hope We All Have Fun. Anderson East is releasing Worthy. Grace Potter will put out Medicine, the long-lost album produced by T-Bone Burnett that will be released after 17 years. And Tash Sultana is releasing Return to the Roots, an EP. For more music news and information you can use, listen to More Music in the Morning with Nick Harcourt and Jet every weekday from 7 to 10 a.m. only on 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
There's something you need to know. The future of this public radio station relies on new members to help carry the torch and help us prepare for an uncertain financial future. We need your support to ensure this public service is here for everyone to enjoy for now and for the future. Please join Eric Nye, Joshua Trotter, Mary Ellen Butler, Bruce Green, and Brandon Hall and make the switch from passive listener to active member. It's easy. Online at thesocalsound.org. You'll be glad you did. Thanks very much.
Support for this station comes from Deadly Wax, presenting a deep selection of carefully curated used and select new vinyl, and inviting vinyl junkies in the valley and beyond to Deadly Wax at the new location in Granada Hills. Deadly Wax are keeping it lively Tuesday through Sunday. More info is at deadlywax.com.
Support comes from Laguna Playhouse, presenting Peril in the Alps, June 11th through 29th. In this follow-up to Murder on the Lynx, the legendary Hercule Poirot journeys deep into the snow-covered Alps to solve a chilling kidnapping before it becomes murder. With sharp twists, big laughs, and dozens of eccentric suspects all played by just six actors, Peril in the Alps is a mystery lover's dream come true. Tickets are available now at LagunaPlayhouse.com or at 949-497-2787.
With the long holiday weekend and Summerfest approaching, May is a great time to donate your vehicle and plan your road trips in a new one. Your family vacation may be more fun if you're not broken down on the side of the road. Please join Brian Manson, Matthew Burns, State, Thomas Whitehead, and Susan Gibbs in donating a vehicle to support 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Your donation may be tax deductible, and we make it super easy. Click online at thesocalsound.org.
Matt Pinfield's passion has always been there. It all started in his youth, bringing 7-inch vinyl records on the school bus, DJing in clubs up and down the Eastern Seaboard, sharing music with us on the nation's top radio stations, becoming a companion and a household name while hosting some of the most popular shows on MTV in its heyday. A tastemaker, an artist advocate, a friend, and a fighter. Stay tuned to learn more about the Matt Pinfield Show, right here and on the SoCal Sound app.
Welcome back to The Soundtrack. I'm your host, Lavell Spiro, and we have been talking to special musical guest Paul Freeman.
Hello,
Paul,
hello.
You having fun yet?
I'm having a blast.
Good.
A blast, a blast, a blast.
Remember, this is live radio, so please no cursing. And, of course, pants are always optional.
Oh, good, because I just took mine off during the break.
Fantastic. Your first Welsh Wolf EP is coming out very soon. It's called A Voyeur's Dream, and it drops on Tuesday, June 3rd, next week. And tell us about this release party we'd mentioned. Is it three, what is it?
Three clubs, yes, okay. In Hollywood.
Is that open to the public?
It is.
So they
please come. Please come.
Yeah, but I've seen you guys live. It's so energetic. It's such a great time. People
Thank
should
you.
Really really go check you guys out.
Thank you.
So, all right. I want to play a cut from the EP now. It's called When You Cry. Is there anything you want to tell us about this song before we listen?
It's written from a female's perspective of calling the guy out for his bull.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a listen to it from the Welsh Wolf EP, A Voyeur's Dream. This is When You Cry. When You Cry from the band Welsh Wolf and singer-songwriter Paul Freeman. And I think Ross, your lead guitarist, also did some writing on that
one. He did, yeah. Correct? We wrote it together.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I love hearing you guys play off each other.
Yeah, it's really... I mean, Ross is a really integral part of the band and what we're doing. His guitar playing is obviously amazing, but just his guitar parts are really inspiring to write to. So.
Wow, that's nice. And I know you're not just saying that because you want free medical care, but
he really is a wonderful guitarist. That goes without saying.
We mentioned a couple of the American songwriters that influence you, but you've also talked about bands like Oasis, Blur, The Cure, great British bands all. So I have to ask you, how do you find yourself on stage performing with The Who, one of the great British rock acts of all time? This is from Daltrey?
Yes, came through that. Yeah, and at the time I was managed by the same people as The Who, and so they thought that it would be a lovely fit to put us on a bill together.
And you once told me a great anecdote about you were on stage when Simon Townsend, Pete's younger brother, couldn't make a gig
So I had to fill in for him. The first one was at the Royal Albert Hall.
Fun. You told me this anecdote about you tried to improvise some guitar licks with Townsend on stage.
Yeah, don't do that. I learned that real quick. He also taught me how to play Pinball Wizard correctly, which was great.
Okay, but when he improvised something, did he just turn around and stare
across the stage? Stare, and you're like, oh, I'm in trouble when this ends.
Oh, that's very funny. All right, well, here's a taste of one of the songs Paul was playing guitar and singing backing vocals on from one of my favorite rock albums of all time. This is My Wife.
Radio song. There was
there's a flash on your phone, and the light on your face was gone, gone, gone. Don't let them meet, 'cause I do it better. I try to heal in the churches and the rivers. Don't mourn your wasted youth, it hasn't left you yet. You're in my bones. Sound as we lie here alone, close to feeling alright. Just a picture of insincerity, but the buzz is strong. Don't let them meet, 'cause I do it better. I try to heal in the churches and the rivers. Don't
Churches and Rivers, another gorgeous song from our guest, Paul Freeman. Paul, you spend about half your time in Nashville and the other half here in L.A. Can you tell us, I know that your management has gotten you into producing other artists out there.
Yeah.
Is producing something you enjoy doing?
I love it. I really love it, yeah. It's really nice to learn all this stuff over the last God knows how long and be able to send it forward to a generation coming up behind. And also, it's inspiring to hear, to be inspired by the younger voices coming through. It's really, I learn a lot every time I get into a room with somebody.
Well, recently you produced a new artist, a young lady named Belle Blue, and you put out a track called Woof. It does sound very different from your own work.
Yeah, yeah. She's a force of nature. She's got a very distinctive vocal style. She's got a very distinctive delivery. So it was, working with her was just kind of leaning into that and trying not to get my own stuff on it. I think that's what I'm trying to do as a producer is amplify the artist's voice as opposed to go, This is what I do. So right. I'm going to put all that stuff on your record now.
Well, this is a really cool track. Let's take a listen. Produced by Paul Freeman. This is Belle Blue, Woof.
You said you think that you 5 seconds of unfiltered fame, and I take great offense to that.